So Darren and I are in the midst of this new message series, you could say. And we're starting to dive into some of the questions or topics that you guys have sent in to explain, whether it's about Christianity or whether it's about a specific scripture or something that maybe you have a question about. And we're going to try to explore that a little bit this morning or in the following weeks as well. So that's what this is about. And last week, Darren started in with giving. That was a topic that we thought we would explore, that you had actually asked us to look into some. So giving. And I think giving, particularly financial giving, money, has always been a little difficult for me to talk about, maybe. And I think the reason is because of abuse, really. Abuse in teaching that I've heard, or at least that I've perceived as abuse. And also, I think it's a little personal in the sense I've known people personally, coworkers and people like that, who have rejected the church and rejected God in some sense, partly because of financial abuse within the church. And I'm really thankful at this congregation that we have a finance committee and that I don't have to, like, touch the money at all, I guess you could say. So I'm really thankful for that. So big thanks to the finance committee because they deal with the money, and I'm really happy about that. But I have known, like I said, I have known people who have had issues with church and with giving and that kind of thing. And so that's always been kind of a hard thing for me to engage in and talk about a lot. But there's more to that, I think. There's more to the issues than that. And one of the issues is even more personal, and that is that I struggle. I struggle with greed. I struggle with wanting more and being greedy. I think a lot of times let me just say, when I started studying greed, I realized that it's really hard to define because it's always somebody else's problem, not mine. And so I struggle with that. And there are times when I am covetous and I think about all the things I could do with lots of money if I had more money. I don't know if you ever experienced that. There's all of these sorts of things that really are difficult. It's really difficult. And so giving is not an easy thing. So I want to explore just a little bit about why we give, really. That's really the key, I would say, to this. I'm just going to tell you straight up. I'm not going to tell you how much to give. I'm not going to give you a formula and tell you, you know, this is how much you give, this is how much you're supposed to, all this. I'm not going there. But I want to explore why we give some, okay? Now, I don't know if, like I said, dealing with covetousness and greed and that type of thing is a hard thing. And there's a clip I want to play where, from a movie or from a musical, really. And some of you will know this right away. I can't help myself because I love musicals, particularly this one. And it's from Fiddler on the Roof. Now, Fiddler on the Roof, the main character, Tevier, he's this Jewish jolly guy, I would say. And he says a lot of things that I resonate with, and we can laugh at him. But really, they're true about me, too, I would say. And he talks a lot about money, actually, or not having money. And the clip that I put a few clips together, so it's not really like one whole clip, but I just want to introduce it because, just in case you don't know. So Tevye, he's this Jewish guy, and he's talking to God in this first scene where his horse has just gone lame, or at least an injury in the one foot. And so he's kind of complaining to God a little bit about the situation. And then on the last part of the clip is the very last part of the classic song, If I Were a Rich Man. So it's just the very last part of it. It's not the whole song. I won't put you through all of that. But we're going to actually go ahead and watch this and think about what he's saying about, you know, riches and money and that kind of thing. So.
Dear God, was that necessary? Did you have to make him lame just before the Sabbath? That wasn't nice.
It's enough you pick on me. Bless me with five daughters, a life of poverty. That's all right. But what have you got against my horse? Really, sometimes I think, when things are too quiet up there, you say to yourself, let's see, what kind of mischief can I play on my friend Tevye? Well, I'm not really complaining. After all, with your help. Yeah. I'm starving to death. Oh, dear Lord. You made many, many poor people. I realize, of course, it's no shame to be poor. But it's no great honor either. So what would have been so terrible if I had a small fortune? If I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum, all day long I bitty-bitty-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. Lord, who made the lion and the lamb, you decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal plan? I were a wealthy man.
I don't know about you, but I just love that movie. Okay, I resonate with that because how often do we act like Tevye up there? You know, he's shaking his fists and dancing and like just, you know, whining about like not having what we want or not having a little more, right? And so it's a struggle. It's a struggle. And yet, you know, he portrays a poor man in that time. And I think a lot of us understand that, you know, we're not really that poor. But then I think about a quote I heard from that John D. Rockefeller made one time. John D. Rockefeller was like one of the richest men in the world when he lived. Big oil guy back in the day. And he was asked, how much money is enough? And he replied, just a little bit more. This guy had all the money you could ever want, and yet just a little bit more. I think there's an interesting tie here because whether you're poor, you want more, or if you're rich, you want more. It seems like it doesn't really matter if you're poor or rich. And we know, like I said, in our modern time, that we here in America are generally rich, so to speak, in comparison with a lot of the world. And we often say that in kind of a condescending way, like, oh, you know, we need to be thankful for what we have, that kind of thing, which is true. But I don't know if it really if reality always really matters in that way. In the way we conduct our daily lives, because a lot of times it doesn't matter if we are rich or poor, it matters a lot of times how we feel, and a lot of times we feel less rich than our neighbor, or less rich than somebody else, or less rich than I could be. So we have this longing for what we want, for wanting more. And I struggle with that. I just throwing that out there. So I wanted to look a little bit about what Scripture has to say about giving. And I wanted to find, I was talking to Darren, I'm like, I'm having a tough time trying to figure out what scripture I want to preach on, that kind of thing. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to preach a situation where Jesus talks about giving a little bit. And my first thought was the time where he was in the temple and he watches the widow give. And that's what we're going to look at in Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 41. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Let's look at this scripture. Verse 41 says, and he, that is Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. So just to give you an idea, this is in the temple. This is the place where the Jews would come to worship God. They would give sacrifices to God for forgiveness of sins or thanksgiving, that kind of thing. This was like the central hub for the Jews. And the area that the treasury was in kind of like a courtyard area. And there were these boxes. There were about 13 boxes in this area where people could put their money in. And giving of money was important. It was part of the law. It was a law that you give 10% to the temple, which is called the tithe. That's what we refer to, tithe. That literally means 10%. So they would give this tithe to the temple for the maintaining of the temple, upkeep, and also for to pay priests and scribes and people like that that worked there and lived there and that kind of thing. So that was part of this culture, the religion, everything. So they were going to this place, and here Jesus sits down and watches at one of these places. Now, to describe the offering boxes, from what we know, it's a box, and it had like a funnel on it, so then people could dump their coins in there, and then they would fall through, and you could literally hear the coins dropping into these boxes. So it's kind of a big deal, especially if you have lots of money, you can dump a lot of coin in there, and wow, you can just hear it clanging, right? We have offering boxes in the back, and it would be as if somebody sat back there and just watched as you guys put money in there and just watched you guys. I feel awkward, I have to admit, but that's kind of what Jesus was doing. He's just hanging out, watching people put their money in. And maybe this was customary. Maybe this was part of what they did. It was something to be noticed in some sense, you know? And like it says, many rich people put in large sums. So this was a public area, and they would come in and put their money in. Okay, so verse 42. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. So here comes this poor old widow. Well, we don't know if she was really old or not. Doesn't tell us much about her. It says she was a widow, and it tells us that she puts in two coins. How did they know that she put in two coins? Well, remember, clink, clink, two coins, and they're small. This is like nothing. Hardly any money is being put in the offering here, into this offering box, but she puts these coins in. Verse 43. And he called his disciples. So Jesus calls his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. That's a strange thing to say. Of course she is not. She only put in two coins, and the rest of these people are putting in a ton of money. But then he tells us his reasoning for saying that in verse 44, for they all the rich people, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. She puts in everything. I do want to take a moment here, because this is a really hard passage, of course, most of the Bible is. This is kind of hard because if you look at the previous paragraph to this scripture, Jesus condemns the scribes for doing something. He condemns them for various things, but one of the things he condemns them for is devouring widows' houses, he says. Taking advantage of widows, people who were in need. And here, it very easily could have been that this widow had been taken advantage of by some of the scribes. And yet, she's giving all of her money to the temple. The very organization, so to speak, that was taking advantage of her. Not only that, but we also know that a lot of the funds go to the maintenance of the temple. And in the very next paragraph, Jesus is walking out of the temple with his disciples, and the disciples say, oh, look at this temple, look at the great rocks that are here and all of that kind of thing. And it was amazing. And Jesus says, the temple's going to be destroyed, guys. That's kind of alarming to me. All these resources and all this stuff going into the temple and into the upkeep. And here it's placing this woman in the very place, position that she's in. And for what? Okay. So I just wanted to point that out. Now, let's get to the heart of the issue. Who is contributing more? That's the question. Or that's one of the questions that's implicit in this scripture. There's a comparison, right? Rich people and a poor widow. Who's contributing more? Contributing more to God, more to the temple, or to the kingdom of God there, represented there. We know that God desires his people to give. Again, how do we know that? It's part of the law. It was part of the law. He says the best way to live was to give. All right, there's a little, limerick. The best way to live is to give. So we have this thing where in the law, the way we're supposed to live, the way God directed the Israelites to live, the best way to live is for people to be a giving people. They'd give to the tithe, like I said. They'd give offerings of thanksgiving. They would give offerings or sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. So they gave a lot. They were a giving. It was part of their culture. It was part of their religion. It was part of who they were. They were a giving people to God. So God does desire for his people to be a giving people. But what's interesting is, according to what Jesus is saying here, is God uses, God desires his kingdom to expand and to be effective, but he uses the people we might not think. Or he uses poor people or poverty versus abundance. Poverty, in this case, is the contributing factor of the kingdom. I guess the best way I can say this, or one of the ways I can say this, is that God uses even us from a point of need versus what we think we can contribute. See if we can just expand on this a little bit. So for the rich people, apparently it was kind of like a show, right? They go into this place, they dump all their coins in, and it's a big deal. There's lots of clanging of coins going into the offering. It's nice, but Jesus kind of upholds the poor widow in this case. So it's kind of a show for the rich, but with the poor widow, it wasn't really much of a show. In some sense, it's as if the rich were giving out of what they had already accomplished, out of their abundance, the fact that they had gathered a lot of wealth and were able to give so easily. And yet the poor widow gave out of what she really didn't have. She didn't really have much. So the issue is not the amount of money the rich or the poor widow gave. The issue was that the poor widow knew she was poor. She was living that. She didn't have anything to offer. And yet the rich quite possibly thought that they had so much to offer. See, when we give, do we see ourselves as people in need of God and in poverty? Remember what I said earlier about Tevier, right, in that movie? He's in need. He would like more. He's in need. He's a person in need. And then Rockefeller. He had all this money, and yet it wasn't enough. There was a need. There's something more. If we see ourselves as people who are impoverished, in poverty, with not much to offer to God, no matter how much we give. So what we give from defines how much we give. The quantity is not defined by the dollar amount on the check, but by the quality of our heart from where we give. I mean, think about it this way. What is cash to God? I mean, he created everything. He created all things. What is cash and coin to him? You know, the things he does is not necessarily dependent on us. But we do have the option, fortunately for us, we have the option of coming alongside with what God is doing and contributing in some way. Giving from a place of need because we know how needy we are. So whether we're rich or poor, poor or rich, when we give out of our poverty, when we give out of our need, when we give knowing we, you know, really don't have much to offer God, we actually can see the power of God working more clearly. When we give out of our poverty, when we do give, it is truly a work of God. I think when we give out of our poverty, we realize that everything we have is already a gift from God, and that God already owns us and all that we have. And I think when we give out of our poverty and our need of God, we understand just how much God has already given himself for us. I mean, think about it. He died for us on the cross. He gave it his all. He rose again, giving us eternal life through the resurrection. Now, don't misunderstand me. We don't give, well, it's not really giving then. We don't buy our salvation. You can't. It's a gift. We give because he's already given us our salvation. He's already given us that gift. I think what's amazing is this passage really challenges us in a variety of ways. One that struck me was the widow. The widow is in some sense, a picture of God in this way. And I'm not used to that. But bear with me. She gives everything she has, all she has, possibly to a system that paid scribes, the ones who devoured widows' houses, the ones who took advantage of widows. And isn't that a picture of what God has done? He gives his life. Jesus comes to earth, and he gives his life over to us. And what have we contributed? The only thing we have done is really taken advantage of our God, in some sense. God will do far more with the little that we have, because we know that what we have to contribute is far less than what God has already given to us. God gave us Jesus. Like I said, we don't deserve him. We are needful of him. We do need him. From our poverty, we need Jesus. So do we give to get, thinking that we will be rewarded? Because he will reward us. Or do we give because he gave? I think that sums up the reason why we give. Whether you're Tevier wishing for more money, you know, would it spoil some vast eternal plan if you just made me a rich man? I mean, come on, God. Or if you're like Rockefeller who's just wants a little bit more. Our poverty, our need of Jesus, our insufficiency always points us, always ought to point us to Jesus and his riches and the sufficiency that's in him, the enoughness of him, the finished work that he has done, the grace and the mercy, the justice, the goodness and the love of Jesus. Jesus, the giver, the one who is sufficient, the one who needed nothing but he gave everything, the one who left his riches to live and identify with us in our poverty and in our need. No matter how much we give, it's not enough. No matter how much we make, it's not enough. We need someone, and that is Jesus. He's the one that is beyond us. He has given us more than enough. He is the one who forgives us for not giving enough, maybe. He's the one who gives in spite of us. He is our justice. He's the one who loves so that we can love. And he is the one who gives so that we may give. My heart with giving, and from what I've been reading, joyfully give. Understand your poor state, and understand the greatness of God, and just be in awe of that as we worship.